in the name of your God don't mean a thing. But when I say it in the name of the Lord, it means something, because now I've included God in it. See, whatever we do, we got to include God in it. That's why when Abraham, he was just Abram, and God attached himself to his life, and now he became Abraham. We got to put the I am in it. Come on and say amen, because I am is a factor. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. He said, let the poor say, I am rich. So we got to let God get in this. Amen. And so David begins to go, and he said, I'm going to fight this giant. And he said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to give your body to the fowls of the air. And not only that, the wild beast going to eat you. Come on and say amen. And he said, and this day, he said that everybody would know that there is a God in Israel. What you got to realize is that the devil's testing and trying you, but you got to let him know today, I'm going to let you know that there's a God in our holding. We're filled with the Spirit. We need somebody to see today that there is a God on the inside of me. And I'm not going to be fearful, because I know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit inside of me will lift up a standard. Come on. That no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper, because there's a God on the inside of me. Jesus told us, he said, that the Holy Spirit will be in you. And we got to realize that the Holy Ghost is on the inside of us. There's no reason for us to turn tail and run. Is there not a cause to fight through? Is there not a cause to press through? That's why Paul say, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for to what is before me, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the higher call. Do I have a witness in here? And then he said, he told him in verse 47, and all the assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You see, we got to realize that God doesn't fight with a sword and a spear. That was another reason David didn't want Saul's sword. There's another reason he didn't ask for an armor bearer who had a shield and a spear. He said, the Lord is my shield and buckler. Y'all don't hear me. He said, the Lord is my shade upon my right hand. We got to realize that he is the sword of the Spirit. Y'all don't hear me now. Oh yeah, the Bible lets us know that he's our helmet of salvation. Come on and say man here. He's our loins being girt about with truth, our breastplate of righteousness. And so since the Lord is all of that, I don't need all that you're trying to give me. Oh, come on and praise his name. And so David says, I want you to know that the Lord will deliver, and he don't need a sword nor a spear. We need to know that it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. Why is it by his Spirit? When David took his hand and put it in the bag, David began to let the slingshot whip. Come on and say amen. He had a slingshot in his hand. He had a staff in his hand. Come on. He didn't have to have two hands. But when he put the one hand up, come on and say amen. Oh yeah, when he put the one hand up and began to sling his slingshot shot around, you can hear it in the wind. Come on, what have you heard in the wind? The Bible said that you need to hear. He said that let the church hear what the Spirit of God is saying. The Spirit is the wind. The Spirit is the pneuma of God, the breath of God. Come on and say amen. And the reason why he got smooth stones is because smooth stones travel better in the wind. What are you saying, preacher? Is that when you become smooth enough from being handled by God, when you become smooth like the stones, come on and say amen, then you can maneuver better in the Spirit. You'll know exactly what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it. Y'all don't want to hear me preach this morning. I believe y'all went home on me. Oh yeah, come on and say amen. But the Bible said that it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted. When he arose up and he started walking toward David, David said, I'm running toward you. I'm going to defeat you. Come on and say amen. David ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Look, you got to see something. David knew that if I get out from up this mountain and I get down in the valley, I'm on my own, because they scared anyway. They already said they scared. And so if I get down here, I'm by myself. And all I got is...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
People of God, say amen. Amen. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Can you say that today? God has smiled on me. One more time, like you mean it. Oh, God. God has. Oh, He has said. Me free. Oh,
God has
Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this opportunity to share your word. May the Holy Ghost and His perfect teaching, preaching, ministry meet us in this task. Minister to our hearts. Lift us to the place you'd have us to be. Give us insight, illumination, and understanding. We pray, Lord God, that you would receive all the glory as you bless us with the good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And the Word of God says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord bless the reading, the hearers and doers of his holy word. This word we have from Paul gives us insight about this book we call the Bible. the Holy Word, the Holy Writ of God, the place where the believer discovers the mind of God. For within the pages of the Holy Word, God shares with us his thoughts. God shares with us his commandments. God shares with us his statutes. God gives to us all things necessary to understand how he operates. It's so important, so much so that from the beginning of time, the enemy has tried to distort the word of God. God told Adam that there was a tree in the midst of the garden that he should not touch, should not eat, or he would surely die. The serpent comes along, and after knowing what God had said to Adam, the serpent beguiles Eve and she beguiles Adam. But he says, if you eat of the fruit, listen now at what he says, ye shall not surely die. Now God says, you'll die. The serpent says, you won't surely die. So when Eve ate of the fruit and didn't die, it seemed like the serpent was telling the truth. And it was she who presented the fruit to Adam. And Adam ate, and he did not drop dead. But what they did not understand was the moment they both ate, they spiritually died and commenced their body to physically die. The moment they ate that fruit that was corrupt to their system, and their bodies began decaying from that very moment on until death had finally caught up with them. And all through time, Satan has tried to pervert the word of God, has tried to disguise and fool, twist and turn the word of God. And the Bible says that God's people perish for a lack of knowledge, not just a lack of volume of knowledge, but of quality understanding of knowledge. Whole lot of us know scripture and can't interpret one. We can quote it and say what it says. We can go to it and we can read it, but do we really have the understanding of what it means? And so many of us do not have the understanding that's necessary to be, to do, to walk in authority of that word, because we have allowed the enemy to hoodwink us and to keep us from studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, you've got to get into the word like the Bereans and check it out for yourself. So for yourself, you can say, I know it because I read it, I studied it, and I understand it, not just because somebody told me about it. How can you go to school and say you're going to learn and don't bring a textbook? I know you got your textbook, the Bible. I know you got it here. I know you got it. Well, some may say, well, I'm in this new technological age. I got my Bible on my phone. Okay, that's good. You got your Bible. Well, I got my Bible on my iPad. I got my Bible on my this, that. That's all fine and good. It don't matter where your Bible is. If it isn't in your heart, you still don't have no Bible. Some of us spend more time in everything else that may entertain us and give to us some understanding even of the world system. And there's a world of knowledge on the internet, but not all of that is good for us. And yet we spend more time on the internet than we ever spend studying the Word of God. And we're going to have to give an account. There's a day coming, my brothers and sisters, you know not of, where you will desire to have a Bible, to be able to read a Bible, to understand the Bible, to have a Bible preached to you. And if that word is not in your heart, it won't do you any good. You don't know the situations and circumstances that are before you. That's why, while you have a chance, you ought to study His Word. Spend time in His Word. Meditate upon His Word day and night. You do everything else? You got time to read papers, read magazines, read this, read that. You got time to have your face in a book, but it ain't this book. You got time to tweet and to instant message and to all of that stuff, but you don't make time to spend with God. It is sad, my brothers and sisters, how so many godly people put their lives on Facebook. Facebook gonna carry a whole lot of you straight to hell. And it's also gonna reveal the hell that you're living right here and right now. It amazes me how some folk I thought were intelligent. Some folk I thought I gave much more credit till I heard some of the stuff they put on Facebook. Listen, it's a tool, an instrument that can be used for good or for bad. It's not all, it's how you use that information. It's how you use those tools. And we choose to fall in. I ain't got time to be tweeting nobody, I'm eating a pickle. I'm buying a ticket. I'm watching Gomer Pyle. All that crazy stuff. Why not tweet a prayer? Why not pray for somebody? Why not see how somebody is doing? Why not say, I didn't see somebody in church and I'm looking for you, I hope all is well? Why not use it for good? But we get on there, we can't tell the stories we heard in the Word, but we can get on there and talk about what they're doing on Empire. And being Mary Jane and the number one favor, what is it? Who? Scandal, yes, scandal. Not anything meaningful and worthwhile, not something that's gonna help folks, but only perpetuate the mess that's already going in the world. And I'm talking about Christians. The way we talk about one another is scandalous. I've had to sit back and ask God to help our people. Just put too much business in the world system. All right, I'm gonna move on now. Anyway, you got to understand how we are sucked into the world's information age and entertainment, and yet we're pulled away from the time that's needful to be spent in the Word of God, communing with God. And so, First thing I want you to know about what Paul says is that all scripture, not some scripture, not a piece or a part of scripture, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the first thing I want us to see is inspiration. This inspiration, though God has used many authors, as it were, to pen what he said, use them to deliver his thoughts into writing. He's used many. The truth of the matter is, all of it has come because he's breathed upon them. He has given them inspiration to receive those words from him to record for us. God uses men. He used holy men to deliver his word and to put it in written form so we would have a record of God's word, God's will, and God's way. He used holy men by inspiration. Somebody say inspiration. Inspiration is God breathing on them and giving them a specific message for specific people at a specific time, and put all of this together so that we might have what we call the Bible, a collection of books, a collection of God's words brought together and put in one place so that we might study it to know God better. What is this inspiration for? Listen at what it says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Of God. By God. From God. All right. So keep the focus right. It's God's word. God's word. All men are messengers. You don't like the message, talk with the one who gave it, not the one who delivered it. The deliverer of the message can't change what's written, only the one who gave the message. And so it is God's word, not the messenger's word. And many of the old prophets suffered greatly, and even many today and in today's times and in many countries suffer because they kill the messenger because they don't like the message. Many times, even in our modern churches today, even right here at the Greater King David Baptist Church, I've had some fine members get mad at me because of the message. Here was the bad thing about it. This message God gave me to give to them was right in their own Bible. Proof that it wasn't mine. But they had enough sense not to get mad with God, but to turn their anger at me. Until God, like Jeremiah, made my head harder and made my eyes stronger. So when they roll their eyes, I look back at them and let them roll them till they roll them in the back of their head. It don't matter to me because it's not me they're mad with, it's God. See, when you stop taking it personally and start feeling, well, they're doing this. No, they ain't doing it to me. They're doing it to God. But listen what God told them. If they wouldn't hear me, they won't hear you. But the reason I'm telling you to tell them again is so that I might have a record that they will know that I tried to reach them. And they can't say, well, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't hear it. Nobody told me. The devil is? Yeah, and you are too if you try and say that you didn't know. But the problem is that he's got some prophets and some preachers and some people who are more concerned about entertaining than edifying. He's got some preachers and pastors and people who's more afraid about being politically correct than calling it what God calls it. God calls it sin. God calls it backsliding. Whatever it is God calls it, that's what we call. But when we're politically correct, we have alternative names for it to make it sound easier, so the blow don't seem like it's a blow, it seems like it's a tap. So that I don't offend anybody, because this is what thus said the Lord. Well, I got news for you. If you don't want to hear what thus said the Lord, go somewhere else. It's ludicrous to think that you'll come to this house and don't hear his word. I ain't got time to make up and fabricate and look politically at what words sound best to make up for this, because you is what you is. And you ain't what you ain't. And I got to call it like I see it. And every true man or woman of God, listen, would rather you be mad with them than God be mad with them. I'm going to show it's all right here. Keep on staying with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm trying to hurry up before I make you too mad. So the first thing we know is inspiration. It comes from God. Comes from God. But the purpose that God gave this inspiration is for information. For information. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. In what? In righteousness. How can folk who are unrighteous beings only became saved and righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ and became a member of God's family through his son, no righteousness except God show them righteousness. Teach them righteousness. They live in an unrighteous world. How is the world going to teach them righteousness? The world can't. So if you are now saved and born again, you need to be in an atmosphere and an environment and a teaching structure to understand the righteousness of God. Amen. You've got to be in a place where doctrine, the way that we're supposed to do things according to the word of God, the way that God has structured his program, we've got to get that from the word, not from tradition, not from men, not from a group of us getting together in committee meeting and coming up with what we think it ought to be and how we ought to do it, but from the holy word of God. I've been in too many committee meetings where folk who are influenced in things of the world try to bring the way they do things in the world in operation in the church. And we've had to say too many times, well, this is how we do it in this system. This is how we do it at this system. This is how we do it on a job. This is how, and you have to, no, but this ain't the job. This ain't the school system. This ain't the club. This isn't this. This is the church. God already has his instructions, his doctrine. God's already got what he wants us to do. All we've got to do is go into the book and follow it. But we've got to learn that. We've got to learn that. We get mad, and so we don't do what God says do because it's not run the way we think it ought to be run. Listen, you don't pay your tithes or you don't give your dues if folk don't do what you want them to do. Well, you belong to this group and you belong to that group, and they require dues, and when they don't do what you want them to do, you don't get mad and stop paying your dues there and think you can still be a member. Young, sit here and act holier than thou if you want to, but I know I'm right. I don't care how much you disagree with the policies and you disagree with how they do things. If you're going to stay a part of that group, you're going to have to follow what they set up as guidelines, pay your money, and shut your mouth. If they let you talk, now you've been heard, now shut your mouth. We're going to do it like we've been doing it. And you huff and puff for a minute, but you hush your mouth and you stay in.